Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Of course, this is Tuesday. We did not have a show on Labor Day Monday, but Monday's shows are always brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Now once more, we'll retreat into the shotgun. Tyrone from the gun, swoops with it, turns, and shakes off one tackle, still on his feet, to the goal line, he dies! Touchdown! Texas wins! Tyrone swoops! Gets his fourth touchdown, the game winner, and the Longhorns have beaten 10th-ranked Notre Dame.
Big win for Texas. That was a great game. Had a chance to watch the second half of it the other night, and that's Craig Way on the Longhorn IMG Radio Network. What an emotional win for Texas on its home field against Notre Dame on Saturday night. A series of great games. Over the weekend, big games, big rating games. You know, Florida State, Ole Miss last night. Ole Miss, big lead. Florida State comes back and wins. Texas, Notre Dame went back and forth. That was a great one to watch. Alabama, USC was what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lousy game, and it was a lousy game. Again, as I said on when we were doing the predictions, I may not have been right in everything, but I said, look, for some reason, over the last 4 years, remember when Lane Kiffin was the head coach and they were ranked number one in the preseason? And they were going through sanctions. And I kept thinking, what do you think? He's some sort of miracle worker? It's not, you're not going to win doing that. And it's in the road back is not as easy as people think it is. Well, USC, they've gone through Kiffin. They've gone through Ed Orangian. They've gone through Steve Sarkisian. They've now got Clay Helton. They've gone through how many coaches now during this sanction era here, which they're finally out of. But you don't automatically flip the switch and suddenly you're toe-to-toe with Alabama. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Everyone wants the process accelerated, but you can't accelerate that process. It just has to naturally happen. There's no way in the planet, A, I thought they should have been ranked. There's no way I thought USC should be ranked. And I never thought they'd be competitive in this game with Alabama. They're not ready for it yet. And for some reason, there are a lot of people that think they are ready for this. I'm thinking, what are they watching here? They're not good enough in the trenches yet. And that's just a product of the sanctions. That's the area where you don't recruit as well. Pure and simple. So I was completely confused by all the buildup for that game. I thought, why that game? How about Houston and Oklahoma? Houston's pretty good. Think of Houston's last two wins. You realize their last two wins were against Florida State and Oklahoma? Because they won their bowl game. By beating Florida State. All right, what does the Penn State-Pitt series mean to you? Is this like one of those like defining moments? It's Pitt. I remember the glory days. Got to be Pitt. Or do you look at it as, hey, look, that's a good team. I want to see them face a good team, beat a good team, show some progress there. Yeah, what does this game mean to you this week? 1-800-795-9565. It's 1-800-795-9565. By the way, the Eagles are going to trade defensive back Eric Rowe to the Patriots for offensive lineman Josh Klein and a draft pick. and that the Eagles are already discussing trading Klein already, by the way, that they would get him and then trade him. So that's another Eagle move today. So what does the Penn State-Pitt game mean to you? Is this like the rivalry? You've been aching to play them for a long time. Bring them on. Or is this somewhere else to you? 1-800-795-9565. It's your game. You're the ones that enjoy, this is all done for your enjoyment. So what does the Pitt game mean to you? Does it have deep-seated meaning, or to you is it just a very good second game of the season to have? That's 1-800-795-9565. What does it mean to you? Now, if I were doing this same poll in the western half of the state, well, not, but this isn't a poll. But if I asked this question in the western half of the state, oh, I'd get a wide variety of comments on this. Eastern half of the state, where we are, it's a little bit different ball game, I think. That's why I want to find out what you think. That's 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. What does the Penn State-Pitt game mean to you? Does it bring back thoughts of your youth? Is it deep-seated? You just don't like Pitt? Is this the rivalry game you always ache to see Penn State have? Should Pitt be on the schedule every single year? Is it just a very good second game of the season for you to kind of find out where they are? I mean, what is it to you? It's going to be there for the next 4 years. And, of course, again, if you're 30 years or younger, they've only played four times in your lifetime. The other 26, they didn't play. You're too young to remember the other ones. But that's been it. I mean, the last 24 years, they've only played four times. All right. Randy in Mount Carmel. Hi, Randy. Pleasure. Great to have you with us.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Oh, mid fair to Midland, I guess.
There you go. Okay. Work with it.
I just wanted to call in, and it was all about family for me growing up. We, I believe, traditionally, the game was on the Friday following Thanksgiving. At least
yes.
A couple years it was.
Yes.
And we'd go up, my dad, my brother and I, and we just, it was a real family bonding type thing. And wasn't a Penn State fan, wasn't a Pitt fan. It was just something to partake in. I had the gold SHI on Pitt shirt that were very popular back in the day. And also the TP that had that on it. So it was just a lot of fun. I remember going up when Beaver Stadium was a little less dense than it is now. Bleachers
right.
In the end zones, and I'm 49, so I'm going back maybe 40 years. So, but no, it meant a lot. It was I think it's great for the state. I think going up from high school to college football. I've lived all over the country, and I've seen high school football in many different states, college football, and I think we're still up near the top.
Okay. I like that. Now, it's a very interesting take. I'm glad. And that, it's interesting how you talk about it. It's not that just individual games. You're thinking about the experience of being there, the experience of being with your family there, the fact that it was Thanksgiving weekend. And it was part of, hey, look, we've got turkey, we've got football, we're going to go to Penn State, this will be a fun thing to do. Am I getting a pretty good read, Randy, on what that was like for you?
That's exactly right. And we went to actually out to Cardiac Hill a couple times to see in the old Pitt Stadium. I believe it was 82. Kenny Jackson scored the winning touchdown. He caught the winning touchdown pass. It was in the snow. I think it was 82.
Well, the snow game was 77. Kenny Jackson caught two touchdown passes in that 48-14 win in 81.
81. It must have been 81, and I stand corrected.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's what. But you know what? That was actually a significant day for me because Fran Fisher and John Grant did the game on radio, that 48-14 game.
Right.
So they didn't have anybody to do Penn State basketball. And that night was my first night as the play-by-play announcer for Penn State basketball.
Was that back at Rec Hall?
Back in Rec Hall, they played Bloomsburg.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was significant to me, too.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Randy, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for calling and for listening.
And I just wanted to tell you, I don't watch Penn State on TV. I listen to it on the radio.
Well, thanks. That means a lot to us. We appreciate that very much.
You and Jack are very good. And again, I'm not a Penn State fan. I like good football. I'd much rather listen to games on the radio because, you know, looking at the boob tube, I think you turn into a boob after a while because, you know, at least in your mind on the radio, if you're knowledgeable about football and the way you're very good at illustrating what's going on, you can picture all these things, and you actually have to engage your brain a little bit, which is nice.
Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that a lot, Randy. Thank you.
I'm a call cracker. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, right?
Well, I appreciate it even more.
All right. Hey, you take care. Good luck.
You too. 1-800-795-9565. That's an interesting perspective that he gave. He talked about, you could tell Thanksgiving weekends meant a lot to him. You know, family gets together, probably enjoyed a great meal. Maybe they went to a high school football game when he was younger on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, when I played high school football back in the 30s, now, when I played high school football back in the 70s, our traditional rival was our crosstown rival, and we played them Thanksgiving morning. Played them at 10 a.m., Thanksgiving morning. And, of course, for us, that was the game. Had to beat the crosstown rival. And he relates that into a college experience where he and his family would go to Penn State, or they'll go down to Old Pitt Stadium where the Peterson Center is now. And, yes, I've made that walk a couple times up Cardiac Hill. And it is aptly named. And one day, I'm trying to think, which game was this now? Which is a game, it may have been the 98 game that was played down there. And they parked the buses. The traffic people made Penn State park the buses at the bottom of the hill and made the Penn State players walk up Cardiac Hill to get to the locker room. Joe was mad. Oh, was Joe mad. Not happy at all. But that was an interesting perspective Randy gave. I mean, to him it was about relating Thanksgiving weekend family and that game. Really neat. What about your perspective? 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to get your perspective on what the game does. What does Penn State Pitt mean to you? Is it a really good second game of the season to find out where you are? Is it the renewal of a rivalry that brings back memories? Is there an intensity to it that's different for you as a fan than other games? 1-800-795-9565 is the number as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
The Penn State Pitt game mean to you? It's a non-conference game. It's at the front of the schedule, not at the end of the schedule. So what does it mean to you? Is it the renewal of the great rivalry that was part of your youth that excited you, and it excites you today that they're going to be playing again? Is there an intensity to it that you think is special? Do you think it is... do you think it's the tone of it is wrong? Do you think that the that it's just an important second game because it's a good opponent on the road? You know, what do you think? I'm giving you various options here. I'm not telling you how to think. How you think is how you think. I'm just throwing out various options that might be possibilities. For some people, there's an intensity to the rivalry. Some people think it's overboard. Some people think it's a great second game of the season because, you know, it gives you a real read on where you are, especially playing on the road. Now, for some people, they've been aching to get Pitt back on the schedule. Here's the opportunity. Would you rather see them play somebody else? 1-800-795-9565. I mean, lots of options there, but obviously the option you pick is your own personal opinion as to what you pick. Our sports bozo of the day coming up, I'm going to make not really a correction, but I'm going to phrase it better than what I said Friday, because how I phrased it Friday was not correct. On the sports bozo of the day, and I had a very thoughtful email that I'll read to you about that made me look at it and go, well, not what I meant, and I can understand why she wrote that. And appreciated it very much because it'll give me a chance to correct myself if I was unclear in how I phrased things. And in all likelihood, I was unclear. So I will do that at the bottom of the hour after the news. But, so what does the Penn State Pitt game mean to you? Is this the great rivalry you've always wanted to see Penn State play? Yeah, you know, because, I mean, Ohio State has Michigan. I mean, you know, Michigan State has Michigan. Who does Penn State have? You know, no Notre Dame on the schedule. Now, when I've been to the western half of the state, this game has been the be-all, end-all. In the western part of the state, I will guarantee you, this is the be-all, end-all game. I've had to speak a couple times this season in the western half of the state. The questions I get in the western half of the state about this game are different than the questions I get from the eastern half of the state. So there's an intensity. There's almost a line in some ways. But how you feel about it's how you feel about it. You know, there are going to be some people in the western half of the state, even they'll say, yeah, it's a really great second game. Now, there will be far more people saying it's the be-all, end-all. Now, there's going to be some people in the eastern half of the state. Some will say, oh, it's the be-all, end-all, and there will be some saying it's a great second game. I mean, and nobody's wrong. That's one thing that's great about the opinion on this one. You're not wrong. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. You know, each team had its starting point on Saturday. It's what it is, a starting point. They both won. Pitt defense did not give up a touchdown. Only Villanova touchdown was on a fumble recovery. Pitt won 28-7. Didn't really run the ball well. Peterman did a really good job throwing it. Henderson had a huge kickoff return for a touchdown. Penn State beat Kent State 33-13. I think the only part that was a little squirrely for everybody was the fact it was only 16-13 at halftime. The defense did not give up a touchdown in the game. The defense did not give up a point after the third series of the game. The offense did not do much the first two series, then found a little bit of a gear with the third series. They need to do a better job of finishing in the red zone, though. Must do a better job of finishing in the red zone. You can't leave points on the field. You got to get them somehow up on the board. You know, they had the one drive that stalled. They didn't get it on fourth down. That was big. And then the other time they had to settle for a field goal. So you essentially left 11 points out there. And look, 44-13 looks a little bit different than 33-13. So they must be better finishing drives. But now, I mean, but again, this is the first time they've done any of this in practical application. So you have a feel about what's working, what needs to be tweaked or corrected, and what you can add in. Final half hour of the show next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to the sports bozo of the day. But I actually want to read you a very thoughtful email I received on Fridays in which I talked about the Stanford swimmer, Brock Turner. And I'll read it to you, and I'll just give you her first. Her first name was Megan. So, Megan, thank you for the email. She said, she writes, "Hi, Steve. As a female, I truly enjoy your show and the banter especially. We thank you for that. Today on my way home, I was able to catch the show for a few minutes. You made reference to the sports bozo of the day, which was the Stanford swimmer. I take offense to calling someone convicted of rape the bozo of the day, which implies it was silly or funny or dumb." And she's correct in this. "You could call it out as the sports criminal of the day, but not the sports bozo of the day. I would reserve the word bozo to a sports person who missed a punt or overslept or missed a flight. This is so much more serious. I'm positive you don't mean to empower his actions or contribute to the rape culture, which is alive and well, unfortunately. I give you these comments with great respect for your show and for you personally." Megan, thank you. Megan, you are correct in all of that, and I was wrong in how I phrased it. Okay, I was wrong in how I phrased it. To me, what the bozo part of it is the sentence he received was shockingly short for such a horrific crime. The fact that he got released is shocking unto itself, because he already had a short sentence to begin with for something that's awful and horrific. And then he gets released early. Calling it the sports bozo, you're correct. Probably not the right way to do it. Mine was more directed at the system, but I do have complete agreement with every word that you wrote in there. And I was trying to go for a different point, but did not do a very good job of phrasing it in such a way where it made the point. So I hope that gives Megan and all of you a better explanation for that. But my intent was actually more of a disgust in his sentence, a disgust in his early release, and a disgust at the entire situation dealing with him of the horrific crime of rape. Her letter, her email was with great respect and received by me with great respect. And I agree with every word she wrote in there. My intent was 180 of that. But it doesn't mean that if my intent is 180 of that, that it came out right. And it did not come out right. And my apologies for that. Scott in State College on Penn State and Pitt at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yes, just want to comment on the Pitt-Penn State series.
Sure.
Give you a little history on me. I'm a state college person, but I went to University of Pittsburgh, and I graduated in 1992.
Okay.
But I moved to state college, and I've been there since there. And kind of piggybacking on what your last caller said, I can remember when I was in college, and Penn State and Pitt played actually on Thanksgiving, which was one of those. It wasn't a big game for us. I think we lost, but it was one of those. It was an interesting game, and it was on Thanksgiving. But I think the generation now, my son now is a freshman at Penn State, so I'm kind of seeing it full circle. Back in my day, that was the biggest game. If you remember, it was the last game of the year. You just lived and died knowing you were playing Penn State at the end of the year. No matter what happened that whole year working up to that, it was still Penn State at the end of the year. And where I lived in Johnstown. It was, you know, if beat Penn State, I had some bragging rights, but most of the time I didn't, and I had to hear about it for the next 8 months. So that's kind of where I come from on that.
It's a very interesting perspective, Scott. I can understand completely where you're coming from. I think some of the Penn State-Pitt deal started to lose a little bit right around that 82, 83, right after 83, it started to lose a little bit because A, Penn State just got so much better than Pitt, and B, having Notre Dame on there made a big difference in terms of the interest of fans.
Yes, and I from a Pitt fan, I call it letting Jackie Shore go. That's the big, and when Coach Faggio came in, that's when Pitt just kind of did that downhill spiral. Somehow they could have kept Jackie Shore, or even one of his assistants. Remember, he had Jimmy Johnson, all those guys on that team back then.
And Dave Wannstedt, Jimmy Johnson, they were all on that staff together.
Absolutely. It'd been different for Pitt.
Well, if you remember what happened, how Jackie Sherrill left Pitt, how he left Pitt was that Texas A&M was looking for a coach, and they decided they offered Bo Schembechler the job. I mean, they offered Bo Schembechler the job. And Bo turned the job down. And then I can't remember the second person they offered it to, Scott, but Jackie Sherrill was the third person. And he took it, and it was the largest contract in the history of college football. And at that time, Steve Garbin, who was the head of finance at Penn State, went to Joe Paterno and he said, "Hey, are we paying you enough?" And so Joe said, Joe told me the story, it's a great story, that he said, "You know what?" He says, "Why don't you call Don Canham at Michigan, who was the athletic director, find out what Bo's making?" Because, look, he said he was a head coach 2 years after I was a head coach, so we're contemporaries, and find out what he's making versus what I'm making, and let's see what we can do. And Joe ended up getting a $25,000 a year raise.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
So it's all because Jackie Sherrill started that trigger after Bo turned down the job at Texas A&M.
No, and I'll be honest with you, I don't regret Jackie Sherrill leaving. I don't never was really a Jackie Sherrill fan, but they followed that kind of mindset then when they went to Coach Faggio just to promote the next assistant coach, and it never worked out since then.
Coach Faggio was a really nice man. Really
absolutely
nice man. Some people are cut out to be really good assistant coaches, and Coach Faggio was a great assistant coach. But for some reason, some people can't translate to being a head coach. And Faggio was one of those guys who the transition to a head coach wasn't really smooth enough for him. He was a great coordinator, but to run the whole operation, the recruiting of it, was never his long suit.
No doubt about it. But as a Pitt fan, I'm absolutely happy where we're at now with Narduzzi. I think he's a great choice for Pitt. Hope he stays. That would be the
I'll tell you, he's got a great background. I know when he coached at Cincinnati, I thought he did a great job there as the coordinator for Mark. Then when he went to Michigan State, he did a great job as the coordinator for Mark there as well. And they were able to build up talent there. Now, the one area I'm not quite sure with Pitt yet, you know, it's only his second year, but right. Narduzzi loves to have great corners, because if he has great corners, then he can unleash the hounds with the other nine guys, because he wants to play man up on the outside. I don't quite know if he's there yet, Scott, but he's probably on the path to getting there.
He seems like with Jordan Whitehead and Paris Ford coming, hopefully. Knock on wood.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Whitehead is a really good player. I mean, it doesn't take long to put on a tape, which I've done, and look at it and go, okay, nine can play.
Yes. No. No doubt about it.
Yep.
No, sure. I'm looking forward to it again. It's going to be exciting.
Good. You enjoy it, Scott, very much.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
It's my pleasure, Scott. 1-800-795-9565. What does the Penn State-Pitt game mean to you? And I hope... I hope Megan had a chance to hear my explanation. I thought her email was highly intelligent, very thoughtful, and I thought was right on the money. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. That's 1-800-795-9565. What does the Penn State Pitt game mean to you? Is it, you know, does it generate the emotions that Scott talked about? Does it generate the memories that Randy called about? What does it mean to you? Or is it a very important second game of the year because you're out of the gate with one and it's a good team to play on the road? Sometimes people look at it like that. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That's our number if you'd like to jump in. We would love to hear from you and get your comments. We always talk about this being your show. Well, it is your show. I'm just the conduit between the airwaves and you. 1-800-795-9565. Steve in Mifflinburg. Thanks, Steve, for being with us today. Great to hear from you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Steve. How are you today?
Oh, not bad for an old fellow.
You sound young to me, my man.
I'm one of the guys that can remember the old Penn State rivalry games.
So what does this bring up for you, Steve?
Well, I've said for years that I've always wished and always thought that Penn State should play Pitt and Notre Dame every year.
What's the intensity of this game for you this week?
Well, I'm excited because we haven't played Pitt for a while, so I think it means a lot to both teams at this point in the season. I don't think either team feels they can afford to lose it.
Well, I think there's a lot of emotion going into this game. I think I like the way James Franklin's trying to channel it on the Penn State side of it. Look, he's treating it as an important game, but he treats them all that way and is not getting them out of their routine. So what are you going to do? You going to go to the game? You going to be locked in on the TV? What are you going to do?
I actually work in the suites.
Ah, very nice. Okay.
Yeah, I've been ushering since 2010.
Well, we're at Beaver Stadium?
Yes.
Well, great. Well, you know what? You guys do a great job, by the way, so it's really great that you're involved in that.
Well, thanks.
Well, enjoy the game on Saturday. I'm glad it brings back some great memories for you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll come back with more in a moment at 1-800-795-9565. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. One of the great tributes to one of the great athletes that Pitt had at quarterback was a quarterback in the early 60s named Freddie Mazurek. Actually went on to play with the Redskins for a couple of years as a wide receiver, but at Pitt he was a quarterback. And he could scramble, he could move. And, you know, I'd take a look at every once in a while, you know, I'd get Joe Paterno's practice plan. It was usually pretty simple. You know, this is a teach run period. This is a blitz period. This is a teach pass period. You know, and there's elements, and that's just what they called it. You know, his Joe's seven on seven was called drill six, as an example. Every once in a while, there would be a period near the end. It was called the Chase Freddy drill. And it was a tribute to Freddy Mazurek at Pitt. And it was, if Penn State was going to play a quarterback that week that was a scrambler, was mobile, just could flat out move. I mean, I don't care what you know, they're going to play, for example, Antoine Randall L. Well, the week they played Antoine Randall L at Indiana, Joe always had in there the Chase Freddy drill. It was a specific drill that Penn State had put in the week of the Pitt game in the 60s to try and somehow gain control of Freddy Mazurek. So, the Chase Freddy drill. That was what it was called. And I think it's terrific that... Yeah, you know, like, I mean, these are, look, I've got all sorts of silly stories, but these are the kind of memories that you have, and that's one that's connected to this game. The Chase Freddy drill. Anytime you faced a quarterback of great mobility, like an Antoine Randall L, that you had to somehow contain, they scrambled all over the place, Joe would always put in the Chase Freddy drill. And Chase Freddy was actually named for Freddy Mazurek at Pitt. So there you go. 1-800-795-9565. What does this game mean to you? We've had a lot of really great, meaningful memories out here today. And you know what's interesting about them? They're all different. They're all different. Freddy Mazurek, by the way, is also a really good baseball player along the way, too. He was actually an All-American center fielder at Pitt. And Freddy is still... I think he's still with us. I think he's 73 now. But there you go. I mean, that's. What does it mean to you? Yeah, we're going to hear from Bill Hillgrove tomorrow. Craig Meyer, Post Gazette tomorrow. Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia tomorrow on the Sam Bradford trade, among other things. So we're going to talk to all of them tomorrow on the show. Looking forward to it very much. Should be a lot of fun. And we will not do a Chase Freddy drill. Now, they don't need the Chase Freddy drill this week. Nate Peterman, I think, has good pocket awareness, but he's not a wild scrambler, great mobility. When they face Philip Walker, now Philip Walker has better mobility at Temple than Nate Peterman does. It, you know, not one's better than the other. I'm just saying. Just does.
So instead of Freddy drill, what would Coach Franklin call it?
What would he call it? Let's see.
I'm just curious.
I
don't know if you caught wind of that at a practice or not.
Nah, he doesn't have nicknames for it. I mean, he doesn't. They do, you know, his stuff is all labeled, for example, blitz period. Team one, there's certain things you want to accomplish on first down. Team two, things you want to accomplish on second down, offensive and defense. Team three. Then, you know, and his are pretty simple labels. Pretty simple labels. Half line Skelly. Or they'll do full Skelly. And that's his version of 7-on-7. That's what Joe always called drill six. So, you know, like, why would Penn State call it drill six in a 7-on-7? And the reason he would call it drill six is that there's a quarterback and five wideouts. It's six guys. So, he's like, 7-on-7, he calls it drill six. Yeah, it's drill six, there's only six on offense. It's not really seven, because they usually have a manager snap it. Here you go. Flip it back. Start. But yeah, James, you know, blitz period, team one, team two, team three, Skelly, half line Skelly. I mean, those are some of the terminologies he uses along the way. There is no Chase Freddy drill. Now, Brent does have drills in where they do go after and try to contain quarterbacks that can move. And you got to have a quarterback out there at hand. Now, the quarterbacks they have this week are not going to do that. There's no need for it. But you may take a guy, I'm trying to think in the past. You know, sometimes they'll take like a defensive back or a backup running back, and they end up being the guy you're chasing all over the place. And you get them in practice, and they come down, they understand they can play the option, things like that. Because you're trying to give everybody as realistic a look as possible. Now, when you get to the game, obviously it's different. I mean, the guy playing, it's really, really good. But usually that's what they do. They'll take somebody who's got a lot of speed, great athlete, can really run around, and they're like, okay, great. Let it rip. Catch him if you can. Contain him. You know, there's some of those guys like that. I mean, you know, for example, JT Barrett runs the option really well, and JT Barrett is a good pocket quarterback. JT Barrett's not a great scrambling quarterback. You know what I mean? Just the way it, you know, it's just the way it is. Now, Nate Peterman doesn't enter into that either. He's got good pocket presence. I think he throws the short, medium ball really, really well, and he likes to get rid of the ball quickly. He doesn't like to take a lot of sacks. So Chase Freddy would not be in the game plan this week. Now, Chase Freddy only showed up once in a while, Sean. Only once in a while would I look at the sheet and go, oh, they're going to do the Chase Freddy drill. And as time went, I was one of the few people that knew what it meant.
Ode to Freddie. Now we know the rest of the story.
Yep, Freddie Mazurek. A heck of a quarterback when he was at Pitt. Great athlete, center fielder there. Oh, who knows? I might break that story out on the network on Saturday. But I've got playoff baseball between now and then, too, so... Hey, congratulations to Gabe Sitacropi and all the great people at Williamsport for the great season they had this year. It's a great ballpark experience up there.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.